and to trust the ahadith with regards the qadr, fil qadr. من الأحاديث التي ذكرناها مثل حديث جبريل أيضا أن تؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. So the hadith of Jibreel clearly shows the importance and the obligation, and that qadr, the belief in the predestination, is with regards يعني the pillars of Al-Islam. أن تؤمن بالقدر, أن تؤمن بالقدر, that you believe in the qadr, the pre-decree, خيره وشره, good and bad. هذا في التقدير العام الذي مرجعه علم الله الشامل السابق. This is in the general pre-decree, which goes back to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That knowledge of Allah which is comprehensive and also that which already preceded. The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He already knew what was going to happen before the actual action occurs. ومرجعه ما كتبه الله, and also that pre-decree, it goes back to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written. Tabaraka wa ta'ala fi lawh al-mahfuz, in the lawh al-mahfuz, in the preserved tablets. Yani those, that preserved tablet which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written and prescribed everything that's going to happen before it happens. Wa hadith ibn Mas'ud fi taqdeer al-umari, and as for the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud with regards the umr of the insan, yani the lifespan, the life of the insan, and that is the famous hadith, إن أحدكم يجمع خلقه في بطن أمه 40 يوما نطفة ثم يكون علقة مثل ذلك ثم يكون مضغة مثل ذلك. يعني 40 40 days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates you, the first 40 days نطفة, sperm, then 40 days علقة, something which clings, يعني a clot of blood which clings, alaqah, and then mudgha, chewed piece of flesh, 40 days. That's how many days? 120 days, 4 months, that is. That's why some of the scholars say before that 4 months, the soul has not been blown into that fetus. After the 4 months, the khalas. On the 40, يعني the 120th day, khalas. يرسل إليه ملك فينفخ فيه الروح. The angel is sent to that, to the womb, and blows the ruh, the spirit inside. Blows the spirit inside the fetus. Subhanallah. It becomes insan, becomes human being. That's why some scholars say after 120 days you do not, it's not allowed to do abortion. And some of them say even before that you're not allowed for abortion. But rather the asal with regards and nasal is that you, inshallah, have children. The asal is to have children. That's why you get married, to have children. Yani pious, healthy children, inshallah. And such that the ummah on yawm al-qiyamah can be large. The ummah who are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهَذَا يُسَمَّى بِالتَّقْدِيرُ الْعُمَرِي. So this is called taqdeer al-umari. Yani the taqdeer, that pre-decree with regards that person, person's life. Because what is written for him? His ajal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ السَّاعَ وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. When their time comes, it's not preceded an hour, nor is it delayed. نعم. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Qaf, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ سَلَامُ اللَّهِ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ إِذْ يَتَلَقَّى الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدٌ مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدُ وجاءت كل نفس معها سائق وشهيد لقد كنت في غفلة من هذا فكشفنا عنك غطاءك فبصرك اليوم حديد. Here again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing that ajal will come, that death will come to each and every one of us. And not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here about the resurrection, and that the angels will bring forward that life, that soul, for the reckoning. So the ajal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about this ajal, about the lifespan which each and every one of us has. And who knows how long that lifespan is. It may be 100 years, it may be 60 years, it may be 40 years, it may be 30 years, it may be tomorrow that we'll die. Allahu A'lam. Allah knows. Subhanallah. And that is why each and every one of us must be prepared for that time. Every day we should be remembering death, and remembering that we're going to reach our reckoning every day. If we don't remember that, then subhanallah, we may live a life of ghafla, of heedlessness. A life where we're not the dhakirin Allah kathiran. as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the dhakirin Allah, those who remember Allah much. والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. Allah has prepared for them great reward and forgiveness. The ذاكرين Allah, those when they remember Allah قياما وقعودا. الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم. They remember Allah while they are standing, while they are sitting. They remember Allah even when they are on their sides. ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض. And they ponder over the creation of the heavens and the earth. And they say, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. Our Lord, you did not create this in vain. You did not create all of this in vain, in play and amusement. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. O Allah, O our Lord, you did not create this in vain. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. سُبْحَانَكَ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ. Does anyone remember the end of the verse? سُبْحَانَكَ. يعني high is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from imperfection. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the heavens and the earth, whatever is in between it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates he pre-decrees that ajal for that person and that death will reach him. And he pre-decrees that he will be shaqi or sa'id, happy or sad. And he pre-decrees the provision for that person. The provision, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written for you that's the provision and whatever you're going to do. Subhanaka hada subhanaka na'am. Anyway, we'll go back to that verse later on inshallah. It's in Surah end of Surah Al-Imran. ثم يرسل إليه ملك فيؤمر بأربع كلمات بكتب رزقه وأجله وعمله. And also his actions are written for him. His actions آخر Surah Al-Imran. His actions are written for him. Whatever is going to do, whether it's going to be good actions or bad actions. And someone may say, well, what's the point of acting if really going to be if it's already written for us? That is not the case. Rather, it's already written for you because it's already known what you're going to do. But it doesn't mean that you don't have a will. It doesn't mean that you don't have a choice. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. Whatever you will, also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. And that is from his rububiyyah. Al-Shaykh Rabbi Hafidhullah says in one of his sharia classes, he says that is from his rububiyyah, from his lordship. Nothing can go out from his lordship, subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this is the taqdeer. Then Shaykh Rabbi says, هناك تقدير سنوي. And there is that which is called the taqdeer sanawi, that pre-decree that occurs every year, which is more detailed. And that pre-decree happens and occurs in Laylatul Qadr. كما قال تعالى, إنا أنزلناه في ليلة مباركة إنا كنا منذرين. We have sent down the Quran on a blessed night, and we are mundhirin. Mundhirin, we are warners. Fiha yufraqu kullu amrin, fiha yufraqu kullu amrin hakim. And in it, on that night, every affair based upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom is pre-decreed. And some of the innovators, they think that night is Shab Barat, the 15th of Sha'ban. They think on that night is that which is going to occur, what is pre-decreed. But actually that night is not the one that is referring to in this verse in Surah Al-Dukhan, but rather this is referring to Laylatul Qadr, because Allah says إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ. We have sent it down, meaning the Quran, on a blessed night. So when was the Quran revealed? Was it on the 15th of Sha'ban? Or was it revealed and sent down on Laylatul Qadr? It was sent down on Laylatul Qadr. And this shows you, as Shaykh Salih bin Fawzan says, it doesn't mean that the whole of Quran was revealed in Laylatul Qadr. Doesn't mean that. Rather, it means the first part of the Quran was revealed on that night, and then after that, it was revealed in portions. When the Sahaba were asking questions, يسألون عن الخمر, يسألون عن الأنفال, whenever they asked about certain affairs, then portions of the Quran would be revealed. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam already told them how to put the Quran in its order that you see today. فيكتب فيها الله مقادير. So Allah writes whatever is going to happen. ما يجري على العباد من أعمال صالحة من أعمال صالحة وسيئات. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes down what's going to happen to the slave in terms of his good deeds as well as his bad deeds. ومصائب and afflictions. What's going to afflict you? نسأل الله السلامة. وما شاكل ذلك and other than that. And similar to that, other than that which is similar. هذا يسمى التقدير السنوي. This is the pre-decree that occurs every year. So there is the general pre-decree that happens, يعني, 50,000 years before creation. Allah already wrote for us what's going to happen. But the specific detailed pre-decree, يعني that happens in every year, is going to be on Laylatul Qadr. And this is why we should strive our utmost to wake up on Laylatul, to be up on Laylatul Qadr, to be up and say there's the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say that famous dua, which is La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu al-mulk. Say the other dua, which is, for example, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbu al-afa fa'afu anna, asking Allah for forgiveness and for mercy on that blessed night. Saying various adhkar, and it's not limited to these, you can say various adhkar, tahleel, takbir, tahmid, tasbih, adhkar, and praying that night for whoever prays with the imam, يعني until he leaves. من صلى مع الإمام حتى ينصرف كتب له قيام الليل. Whoever prays with the imam, يعني on ليلة, on all nights of Ramadan, until the imam leaves, meaning until he ends, حتى ينصرف, then he will, is written for him the whole night in prayer. So imagine you are praying Taraweeh in this masjid, and you are praying every night Taraweeh. It's like you have prayed Qiyamul Layl every night, the whole night. And also, you get the other reward. Whoever prays Isha in Jama'ah and Fajr in Jama'ah, it's like he has prayed the whole night in prayer. It's like he has prayed the whole night. So you get double that reward, inshallah. And going to the masjid, you get reward. Leaving the masjid to go to the house, you get in the reward. For each step you make, Allah raises you a degree. And each step you make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you a sin that you have committed. So Ramadan is a great, great month. Laylatul Qadr is the best night. And it's the best night, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, is the best night of the year. The best night of the year. And you look for it in the odd nights, in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And since we're coming to Ramadan, then we remind ourselves from these ahadith, these great ahadith regarding Ramadan. Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. He says, As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bihi. Fasting is for me and I reward it. As-sawmu li, hadith Qudsi. Fasting is for me, Allah says, and I reward it. So in every other deed, if you do a good deed outside Ramadan, then for example Salah, you have 25 to 20, or in one narration 27 times to up to 700 times, يعني magnified, according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. But for fasting, or deeds done while you are fasting, it's left open. It's left open. It's magnified greatly. For fasting itself, subhanallah, is for Allah. As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bihi, and I reward it. And that statement by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you the magnitude of fasting in Ramadan. And shows you the greatness of Siyam. For even, يعني, the bad breath of a person fasting, because his stomach is empty, and so, يعني, maybe the smell from the stomach comes out in his mouth, even though he brushes his teeth and so on, it comes up from within. Even that is better in the sight of Allah than misk. It's better than in the sight of Allah than misk. And the fasting person looks forward to two things. He looks forward to breaking the fast, and that's why, mashallah, tabarakallah, the families, they spend lots of time cooking loads of different foods, tasty foods, and that is because we look forward to that. And there's nothing wrong with that. This is something which is good, inshallah. Eat what Allah has provided you with, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. Kulu wa shrabu, eat and drink. And that which is halal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُحَرِّمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. And don't make forbidden that which is halal, what he has made for you. So this is something which is good, inshallah, for that which is allowed and that which is not done in indulgence is too much. Because sometimes in people fasting in Ramadan, they, instead of losing weight, they actually gain weight, unfortunately. This is because, يعني, maybe they don't follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time of breaking the fast. Something simple, water and dates. If you don't have the rutub, which is the sunnah, then eat dates. It's very hard to get rutub in this country. Rutub, ripe dates. Before they become dates, they are ripe. Just before يعني, we pray, just to finish the reminder regarding siyam, regarding fasting. Indeed, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "As-sawmu junnah." Fasting is a shield, a protection. Because fasting protects you from unjust deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Fasting is prescribed for you, just as it was prescribed for those, to those before you. that you may gain taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. See, the fasting that was prescribed to the people of the book, they also had fasting. The Christians, they had fasting that was prescribed to them. But they weren't Christians at that time, they were Muslims, but they changed their religion. One of the ways which they changed their religion, which Sheikh Salih Fawzan explained, is that their fasting used to be in the summer. And it used to be for 30 days, just like our fasting is for 30 days. This is from the legislation of Isa alayhi salam. But what happened was the people, they changed their religion after Isa alayhi salam. And what they did was, they couldn't fast in the summer. They said to themselves, we find it difficult to fast in the summer, so we'll make it in springtime. That's why they have Lent in spring. And just as an expiation for their bad deed of changing it, they said we'll add 10 days and make it 40 days. And that's why until today you have something called Lent, which the Christians consider to be a fast, and it's 40 days. Why is it 40? It used to be 30, but they changed it. And this is the way of the previous generations, or the before the Imam Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who changed their religion from the people of the book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebukes them and says, woe to those who write the book with their own hands and say it is from Allah. فَوَيْلُ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ ثُمَّ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ فَوَيْلُ لَهُمْ مِمَّا كَتَبَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَوَيْلُ لَهُمْ مِمَّا يَكْسِبُونَ. So woe to them what their hands have written, and woe to them what they earn, because they used to take money in order to hide verses from the Old and New Testament of the past. And that's why it has been tampered with. And that's why it's not, you can see how there are many contradictions in it. As for the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it on Laylatul Qadr, and He has protected the Quran. And that shows us the greatness of Laylatul Qadr, which is better than 1,000 nights. If you do one prayer in that time, is better than 1,000 nights of that prayer. So if you were to calculate 1,000 nights, it is like 83 years, more than 83 years of ibadah. So it is a night that is not to be missed. It is a night that is great in reward. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi." Whoever fasts Ramadan with iman, with faith, and with accountability, meaning seeking the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will have his previous sins forgiven, meaning minor sins. Because major sins require tawbah. Major sins, like drinking alcohol, like fornication, adultery, all of that requires tawbah. You have to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically for that major sin. And the only act of worship which will nullify a major sin, will expiate a major sin, is Hajj. Because the Prophet ﷺ said about Hajj that the person who does Hajj, فَلَمْ يَرْفَثُ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ رَجَعَ كَيَوْمٍ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. He returns. The one who performs Hajj without sinning and without argumentation, he returns as though his mother has given birth to him. And the ulama mention, the scholars, they clarify that this is the deed that is, if you like, given an exception with regards to major sins. It nullifies all the major sins. In fact, there is authentic narration which Sheikh Albani rahimahullah mentions, that the stones that you throw in the Jamarat on the day of Eid, each stone that you throw and you say Allahu Akbar, a major sin is removed. So if you were to count the amount of stones that you throw the 21, and you throw those 7 on the day of, on Yom Al-Eid, you throw only Jamrat Al-Aqaba, which is 7. On the days of Tashriq, you throw on the 11th, 12th, 13th, 3 days if you stay for 13th, which is better. So 3 days, you have how many stones? 21 times 3, 63, plus the 7, 68, major sins removed, inshallah, if you're sincere in doing it, and also if you follow the sunnah of the Messenger, and Allah accepts it as well, inshallah, you will have those major sins removed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ramadan is a great blessed month. On the night of power, Laylatul Qadr, that is the night that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pre-decrees what is going to happen for you for the next year as well. So this is the night that we should try our best to worship Allah. And not only that, prior to that, for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man qama Ramadan." See, in the other one he said, "Man sama Ramadan." In this one he said, "Man qama," whoever stands up in the nights of Ramadan, imanan wa ihtisaban, again with true faith, with sincerity, and ihtisaban, seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not seeking the reward of the people, not to be seen, not for sum'a wala riya', not for showing off, but seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ دَنْبِهِ, then his previous sins are forgiven. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he blesses us with Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we benefit in Ramadan, the month of Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we ourselves finish Quran at least once in Ramadan. For if you were to count the number of verses in the Quran, they number more than 300,000 verses. And if you were to count, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says for each verse that you read, letter that you read, 300,000 letters. If you were to read one letter, one harf, ولا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف ولكن ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف, as in the hadith of Uthman رضي الله عنه, then you would get how many verses? Multiply that by 10 hasanat. And multiply that by the magnitude of deeds done in Ramadan. That is great indeed. So don't fall short from reading the Quran in Ramadan. Try your best to finish the Quran, ponder over it, and act according to it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the Ahl al-Quran. For indeed, there's a hadith in Sunan ibn Majah where the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Quran hujjatun laka aw alayk. The Quran is a proof for you or against you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the Quran a proof for us, not against us. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. We pray صلاه المغرب. After المغرب we'll continue with the book inshallah. والله اعلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. اما بعد, and in continuing with the اصول السنه of Imam Ahmad رحمه الله, the explanation of Sheikh ربيع بن هادي المدخلي حفظه الله. And we came to the section of Al-Qadr, right at the end. ثُمَّ هُنَاكَ تَقْدِيرٌ يَوْمِي. So after he mentioned about the taqdeer, the pre-decree that is written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, which is the general pre-decree, 50,000 years before creation, Shaykh Rabi' Hafidh also mentioned the pre-decree that is Sanawi on Laylat al-Qadr, that pre-decree that is mentioned the details for that year. But there's also a pre-decree that is done every day, subhanallah. A pre-decree that is done every day. ثم هناك تقدير يومي وهو ما يفعل العباد ويكتبه عليهم الملائكة يوما فيهما يوما فيوما. So every day the angels, what they do? كراما كاتبين يعلمون ما تفعلون. They are كراما, honorable كاتبين. They write whatever you do, whatever you say. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the other verse in Surah Al-Fajr, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Now this is Surah Al-Haqqa, Surah Al-Qaf. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. There isn't a statement that emanates from one's mouth except that there is رَقِيب عَتِيد. يعني ever watcher recording everything that the person says. In Surah Al-Fajr, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. Your Lord is ever watchful. قَالَ ابْنُ عَبَّاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا يَسْمَعْ وَيَرَى. So the angels write down what you are saying and what you do. This is something which is on a daily basis, يعني every time. There are angels at Fajr and there are angels at Asr time. They swap shifts. At Fajr, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abbad Hafidullah said, at Fajr, the angel of the night swaps with the angel of the day. They swap shift. So how about for the one who's not praying Fajr? How about for the one? They swap shift and you're still asleep. Nasallah salama. So missing Salat al-Fajr, يعني if you miss it, it should be rarely. Rarely that you miss it. It should be rarely. Why? Because this is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. Wa Quran al-Fajr. In the verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Na'am. إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. In that verse. But what's the beginning of the verse? أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَى غَسَقِ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. The whole verse. That indeed, establish the prayer. لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ. يعني so long as the day is there, establish the prayer. That means ظهر and عصر. أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ. That means ظهر and عصر. When the sun is out, when is it? ظهر and عصر. إِلَى غَسَقِ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. until the night, يعني the pitch black night fall. That means what? Maghrib and Isha. How many is that? And then when he mentioned about Fajr, he said wa Quran al Fajr. He mentioned wa Quran al Fajr, specified it. كأن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا. It is witnessed. Quran al Fajr, it is witnessed. The angels write it down, for that is the time that they split shift, the angels of the night and the angels of the day. They split shift at that time. And Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Hafidhullah says that it shows you the importance of Salatul Fajr and also praying that Fajr morning prayer. And you know, we may fall short, we may make a mistake, we may oversleep. However, it should be something which is rare. It should not be something which is done on a regular basis. For indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned about those who, there's a hadith which mentions those who do not pray until the time of the prayer goes. They will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and the Prophet saw them. He saw them in the hadith of Isra'ul Mi'raj. He saw them, and he saw a person being hit with a rock, and then he goes and gets the rock, and he gives it back to the one who's hitting him. He hits him again on the rock, and he goes and he said, "Oh Jibril, who is that?" He said, "That's the one who, yani, he prays when the time of the prayer has gone. He doesn't catch the prayer on time. He prays when time is." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Hafidhu ala salawati wa salati al-wusta." Guard the prayers, especially the middle prayer. And some of the scholars say the middle prayer is Salat al-Asr. It depends which one you start with. Some of them say it's Dhuhr, some of them say it's Asr. So Asr seems to be the correct position, and that is Salatul Asr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by Al-Asr. He said, Wal Asr. And one of the means is that he swore by the prayer. And one of the means is he swore by the time. The time. And to show the greatness of that, and the greatness of what occurs in that in time. And he swore by the Salat al-Fajr, show you the greatness of Al-Fajr. Wal Fajr, Walayalin Ashr. And the nights, the 10 nights, and actually that is referring to the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. The 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, which are also blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said the best days of the year are the days of Dhul Hijjah, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And the best nights of the year are the nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And the best day of the year is the day of Arafah. And the best night of the year is the night of Laylatul Qadr. And if you consider the night of Laylatul Qadr better than 1,000 nights, and also the day of Arafah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends, and in the other one Allah descends, in the other one, in the night of Qadr, Allah descends to the lowest heavens. And He says, "Who is there that is asking of me that I may give him? Man yas'alani fa'a'tiyah." And who is there that is asking forgiveness of me that I may forgive him? Shaykh Rabbi Hafidhullah says, "Wal imanu biha bin nusus." So we must believe in the predestination. لا يقال لما. It is not to be asked why. لما فعل الله كذا. No, you shouldn't ask why did Allah do this or do such and such. ولما قدر كذا. And why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala predecree such and such? ولما أمر بكذا. And why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala order with such and such? وَلِمَا نَهَا عَنْ كَذَا. And why did Allah prohibit such and such? لَا يُقَالْ لِمَا. It is not to be said why, وَلَا كَيْفْ, nor how. إِنَّمَا هُوَ الْإِيمَانُ وَاسْتِسْلَامُ. But rather it is belief and istislam, submission, والتسليم. لِأَنَّ هَذِهِ التَّسَاؤُلَاتِ. Because these questionings, or these types of questions, قَدْ تَكُونُ نَاشِئَةً. It may be that it stems from عَنْ اِعْتِرَادَاتِ. It stems from questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani in opposition to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regards His pre-decree, and with regards His legislation, He says, and with regards His commandments and His prohibitions. فَمَا عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا التَّسْلِيمِ. So what is upon you is only to accept. Because as Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, he said, and he died 101 Hijriya, he said, عَلَى اللَّهِ الْبَيَانِ. Allah is the one who shows you, clarifies you the message. وَعَلَى الرَّسُولِ الْبَلَاغِ. And the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the one who conveyed it. وَعَلَيْنَا التَّسْلِيمِ. And upon us is to submit to it, submit to that message. And this is the meaning of Islam, which the scholars of the past have said. They said, Al-Islam is what? Al-Islam huwa ish? Huwa mada? الاستسلام لله بالتوحيد والانقياد له بالطاعة والبراءة من الشرك وأهله. Islam is what? To submit to Allah upon tawheed and to comply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon obedience, and to be free from shirk and its people, meaning not to partake in what they partake in terms of shirk and so on and so forth. So especially in Bab al-Qadr, in predestination, whatever Allah decrees, especially in that affair, we leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based upon His great wisdom. Isn't Allah al-Alim? Isn't Allah al-Hakim, the all-wise, the all-knowledgeable, al-Khabir, the all-aware, al-Latif, the one who knows the minute details of the affairs? And the other meaning of al-Latif is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of your affairs, even you don't even know He's taking care of it. Subhanallah. So the pious one, the wali of Allah, the awliya of Allah, the muttaqeen, the muhsineen, the mu'mineen, those believers, pious ones, Allah is taking care of their affairs, even though they don't realize it, because Allah is al-latif. So ya latif, al-tuf bina. O latif, O one who takes care of their affairs, take care of our affairs. So even if you are being oppressed, Allah will take care of you over the oppressor. Subhanallah. فَمَا عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا التَّسْلِيمِ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. He enjoins justice. He commands with justice and righteousness. وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. And He forbids fahsha, evil deeds, unjust deeds, and munkar, evil, wretched things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of His slaves and takes care and He aids the believers. Allah وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُخْرِجُهُ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Allah is the protector of the believers. He takes them out of darkness into light. And light here means guidance. And as for the disbelievers, وَأَنَّ الْكَافِرِ لَا مَوْلَى لَهُمْ. And as for the disbelievers, there's no helper for them. Who is their helper? Except Iblis, except Shaitan. وَأَنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ لَا مَوْلَى لَهُمْ. There's no helper for them. In the other verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ يُخْرِجُهُ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ. As for the disbelievers, their friend and their protector is Shaytan. And what kind of friend is Shaytan? What kind of friend is Shaytan? When Shaytan himself, he says سَأَغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. I will lead all of them astray except the sincere worshippers amongst them. What kind of wali is Shaytan? What kind of friend is Shaytan when he is leading you to the hellfire? لِيَكُونُ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. That the people may be from the companions of the hellfire. What kind of friend is Shaytan when he himself would make bara'ah from the people on the Day of Judgment? Say, look, you know, I ordered them to do that, but he kept away from them. It was their fault. So لا تقول لما. So do not say why, on how, and with regards the pre-decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But rather with predestination, the belief in predestination to increase your iman. Why? Because the case of the believer is amazing. أمر المؤمن يعني عجيب. The case of the believer is amazing. والله إن أمره كله خير. All of his affairs is good. إن أصابه السراء شكر فكان خيرا له. If any good befalls him, or if any good يعني reaches him, that is, then he is thankful, and that is good for him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ ضَرَّا يعني difficulties, if any difficulties afflict him, صبر, he is patient, فَكَانَ خَيْرَ اللَّهِ, he is patient and that is good for him. So either way, as Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah, he says, the believer is like the saw. You know the saw, when you saw something, S-A-W, both ways he is good, is good for him. Going and coming is good for him. Is difficulty, is easy, is good for him. Alhamdulillah. So either way, he is upon the ibadah of Allah. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, incidentally, he mentioned, he said, subhanAllah, the believer, even, not only when his speech is good, his actions are good, and even when he's silent is good for him. Yani, silent in those things that are haram and so on. He keeps away from the haram things. He keeps away from entering the haram things like backbiting, slandering and so on. And even he says, and even is mentioned, with regards his not moving is good for him. Subhanallah. Because he's not moving to do haram, he's not moving to do something bad. So even that is why? Because he's taking care of his affair. He's taking care of himself. and his feet and where it goes. He takes care of his hands and what he does with his hands. And this is why in the famous hadith of the wali, the awliya of Allah, the friends of Allah, the hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this great hadith of Qudsi in Sahih Bukhari, which is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man aadha li waliyan faqad aadantuhu biharb." Whoever harms a friend of mine, then I'm at war with him. Well, what are the characteristics of the awliya of Allah? What are the characteristics? The characteristics of the awliya of Allah, the friends of Allah, they are the ones are mentioned in this hadith. Hadith in Sahih Bukhari. "Man aadha li waliyan faqad aadantuhu biharb. وما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب إلي مما افترضت عليه ولا يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به وبصره الذي يبصر به ويده التي يبطش بها ورجله التي يمشي بها وإذا سألني لأعطينه وإذا سألني لأعطينه وإذا استعاذني لأعيذنه." الله أكبر. A great hadith, wallah. The awliya of Allah, the person doesn't come closer to me, my slave doesn't come closer to me with something more beloved to me than the obligatory duties. So the salawat, the siyam, Allah loves that. And He loves that because He says, Allah says, there isn't anything that is more beloved to me than the servant coming closer to me with the obligatory duties, with tawheed, with salah, with siyam, salah in its time. A man came to the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "What is the best deed? Ayyu amalin afdal?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "As-salatu fi waqtiha." Pray in its time. The man said, "Thumma madha?" Then when? Then what's next? He said, "Al-jihadu fi sabilillah." So here the ulama says, look how great the salah is. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned before even jihad fi sabilillah. Because this is the jihad an-nafs, that you strive your utmost in your soul to strive to catch the prayer on time. Prayer in its time, even if you're traveling. If you're traveling, it is a rukhsa from Allah that you join the prayers. No problem. Alhamdulillah. But sometimes you may be resident. Yani you're a traveler, but you're not actually moving from place to place. So pray in its time. There's khair in that. Unless there's some mashaqqa for you, difficulty for you, then you join your prayers. But prayer in its time is wonderful indeed. It is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So obligatory duties. Allah loves the obligatory duties. That you come closer to Him with the obligatory duties. وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. And indeed, the servant continues to come closer to me with the nawafil, with the super gratitude prayers or super gratitude deeds until I love him. Allah. And if I love him, I become his hand which he hears, and his seeing which he sees, and his feet which he walks, and his legs which he walks, and with his hand which he touches, and in that which he seeks with his hands, and that which he withholds with his hands, and he become, and when he asks of me, I give him. Allah. وَإِذَا سَأَلَنِ لَأُعْطِيَنَّ. So the wali of Allah, all he has to do is raise his hand, and whatever he asks for, Allah gives him. This is the wali, the awliya of Allah. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَا اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Indeed, the awliya of Allah, there's no fear for them and no distress for them. Why? Who are the awliya of Allah? Alladina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. Those who believe and they are pious. They keep away from the haram. They love the good deeds. And they believe correctly. The first thing he said, alladina amanu. They believe in Allah correctly, first and foremost. So the awliya of Allah are not the Sufis, because they don't believe in Allah correctly. The awliya of Allah are not Jama'at Tabligh. They don't believe in Allah correctly. They may be a righteous person amongst them who doesn't know any better. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and guide them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show them the truth, the followers. As for the leaders of the jama'at, then they are not from the awliya of Allah. Because how could they be from the awliya of Allah and they bring bid'ah, innovations? As for a follower, a general lay, Joe Blogs, as they say, layman, then this person, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide him to the truth and guide us to the truth. They don't know any better. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He may guide him to that which is better, inshallah. And many people like that. We know many people who used to be with Jama'at Tabligh, alhamdulillah, they left. And now they became upon the da'wah to Salafiyya because they didn't teach them knowledge. And the Ikhwan al-Muslimun likewise, they're not from the awliya of Allah. Why? Because from their motto is, نَتَعَاوَنُ فِي مَا تَفَقْنَا عَلَيْهُ وَنُعْذِرُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا فِي مَا اخْتَلَفْنَا فِيهِ. We enjoin, we cooperate in those things which we agree upon, and those things which we disagree upon, yani even if it's aqeedah, we excuse each other. And this is incorrect. This is the motto of Hassan al-Banna And this is incorrect motto. Why? Because on issues of aqeedah, there's only one. Aqeedah is one. There should be no two aqeedahs that we accept. Should be only one. Aqeedah is one. وَأَنَّ هَذَا سَرَطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ فَاتَّبِعُوهُ.
He didn't say many paths. He said, this is my path, singular. So follow it.
وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ.
That which has advised you with, that you may gain piety.
So here, Sheikh Rabi' Hafidullah, going back to the book, Sheikh Rabi' Hafidullah says, لَأَنَّ الْبَابَ الْقَدْرِ كَمَا يُقَالْ سِرُّ اللَّهِ.
The chapter regarding Qadr is from the secrets of Allah. The secrets of Allah. Meaning, only Allah knows the wisdom, the great wisdom behind the affair of His pre-decree.
فَمَا عَرَفْتَ مِنْهُ فَأَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ.
So what knowledge you have come to know with regards the wisdom of Allah, the pre-decree of Allah, because it may occur that maybe you didn't pray your fajr in the morning and then you had a car accident. You said, Qadr Allah ma sha'a fa'al. This is maybe because I didn't pray my fajr and Allah didn't protect me for that day. Maybe it could be a reason like that. Or maybe you just did a bad deed, so you should blame only yourself. So you, and then you say, maybe it's because of I didn't. And you start blaming yourself. Alhamdulillah, this is good. You blame yourself, for this is the nafsul lawwama, the oft blaming soul, which when you continue to blame yourself, inshallah that rectifies your soul to become a better Muslim, until you become inshallah from the nafs al-mutma'inna. Ya ayyatuha an-nafs al-mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. Then you'll be of those who Allah says, enter my jannah, because you have reached that mutma'inna soul, the soul which is satisfied, which is pleased with the legislation of Allah, which is pleased with the pre-decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you don't complain about the pre-decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If an affliction occurs to you, then inshallah there's good for it. Even the Rasulullah said, a prick of a needle that pricks you, that a thorn that hurts you, even that is an expiation of sins for you. Walhamdulillah.
وَمَا لَمْ تَعْرِفْ فَمَا عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا التَّسْلِيمِ.
So that which you don't know from the pre-decree of Allah, then upon you is to submit.
لَا تَقُلْ لِمَا.
Don't say why and how.
إنما هو التصديق والإيمان بها.
As Imam Ahmad رحمه الله said, it is tasdeeq. We must trust and believe in the legislation of Allah and the pre-decree of Allah. Whatever happens occurs for a great wisdom.
And you think we'll be left alone, we'll not be tested?
أم حسب الناس أن يترك أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتن الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do the people think that they will be left alone and say they do not, they disbelieve?
No, we indeed tested those before them, and we will test them to know those who are truthful from those who are dishonest, yani liars, those who lie to themselves and lie to their selves and forget themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test each and every one of us. Maybe that test will be wealth, maybe that test will be children, maybe that test will be death, someone dies in the family. Maybe that test will be your deen. That is the hardest of all tests, that Allah tests your deen. Because wealth comes and goes, alaysa kadhalik. Money comes and goes. So maybe you lose 100 pounds, 1,000 pounds, 10,000 pounds. Money comes and goes. You earn it, alhamdulillah, after 2-3 years, you earn that money again. Somebody died in your family, qadar Allah ma sha'a fa'al. We're all going to die. Your children, not all children are upright. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, 950 years he's calling the people to Tawheed. Even his own son chose another path. His own son said, "Sa'awi lil jabal." I will go to the mountain, he said, and be free from the flood. And between them came the river, the sea, and his son perished. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not consider him to be from his family, because he turned away. So even Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and many of the people of the past, yani the children, wallahi, there could be zinatul hayat al-dunya. There could be beauties, yani the beauty of this life for you. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayat al-dunya wal-baqiyatu salihatu khayrun inda rabbika thawaban wa khayrun amala wa yawma nusayyiru al-jibala wa tara al-arda barizan wa hasharnahum falam nughadir minhum ahada وعرض الكتاب فترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها وجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا. So what is left for you? When your children turn away, what is left for you? At the end of the day, did you try and call them to Islam? Did you do your best to give them a good Islamic upbringing? Alhamdulillah. If you did that, khair biha wa ni'ma. There's khair in that. What is left for you is the al-baqiyat al-salihat, the good deeds. That's what's going to be left for you. The baqiyat, Allah called them baqiyat because they're going to remain there for you. In yawm al-qiyamah, they're going to be there for you, waiting for you. The baqiyat. Because something which is baqi, something which is still hasn't perished, it's not going to go for you. It's not going to go away. It's baqiyat. And it's not only baqiyat, but salihat, righteous. It's going to be there for you, waiting. Allah called it baqiyat for a reason. Because it's not going to perish. Good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not nullify them. This will be waiting for you, ya ikhwan. So good deeds of fasting, good deeds of Quran, good deeds of raising your children, good deeds of being good to your wife, good deeds of being good to your children and family, being good to your parents. Wallahi, these are baqiyatu salihat. The tasbih, baqiyatu salihat. The adhkar, baqiyatu salihat. Your fajr in jama'ah, baqiyatu salihat. Your salah in jama'ah, baqiyatu salihat. Your ibadah, your good speech, baqiyatu salihat. Your good deeds, helping your Muslim brother on his, to board his form of transport, baqiyatu salihat. Your zakah, baqiyatu salihat. Your sadaqah, baqiyatu salihat. Your umrah, wealth does not reduce because of umrah and hajj. It increases, as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Your baqiyatu salihat. So don't fall short from your baqiyatu salihat. Increase in your baqiyatu salihat. Khayrun 'inda rabbika, Allah says, is better for your Lord. In the eyes of Allah or in the sight of Allah, it is considered to be great indeed. The baqiyatu salihat. Khayrun 'inda rabbika thawaban, in terms of reward. Wa khayrun amala, and in terms of hope. Because on yawm al-qiyamah, you will not be hoping for children. On yawm al-qiyamah, you will not be hoping for wealth. You will not be hoping for a nice car, for a nice house. You will not be hoping for that. Wa khayrun amala, you'll be hoping for good deeds. You're hoping for good deeds. So these are your baqiyatu salihat, which will be your good deeds, inshallah, on yawm al-qiyamah. Because on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring forth the book. And the mujrim, the evildoer, will say, woe is me. What is wrong with this book of mine? Nothing is left out from it. Not even the most smallest of things are left out from this book. And Allah doesn't oppress anyone, in the slightest, in the least. Subhanallah. So it's obligatory upon us to accept and have iman, whatever Allah predecrees, those difficult times as well as easy times. هذا الواجب على المسلم, Shaykh Rabi says. This is what's obligatory upon the Muslim. وهذا مقتدى شهادة لا إله إلا الله. And this is actually what necessitates you saying لا إله. When you say لا إله إلا الله, this is what it necessitates. You don't just utter it with your tongue, but rather you fulfill its conditions. You fulfill that which this لا إله إلا الله necessitates. العلم واليقين والقبول والانقياد فدري ما أقول والصدق والإخلاص والمحبة وفقك الله لما أحب. 6-7 conditions of لا إله إلا الله. Having knowledge of it, believing in it, trusting in it, having صدق, having certainty, accepting it, accepting everything what Allah addresses you with, accepting it. And not only that, having love for لا إله إلا الله, having ikhlas for la ilaha illallah, to comply to whatever Allah orders you to do. 7 conditions of la ilaha illallah. Sheikh Rabi ends this section by saying, وَهَذَا مُقْتَدَ شَهَادَةُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. What does Muhammad Rasulullah mean? طَاعَتُهُ فِي مَا أَمَرْ, obeying him in that which he has ordered. وَتَصْدِيقُهُ فِي مَا أَخْبَرْ, and to obey and to trust in everything that he has ordered, is mentioned. To obey that which is ordered and to trust in everything that he has mentioned. وَنَعْمْ تَرْكُ مَا نَهَى عَنْهُ وَزَجَرْ, and to leave off that which he has forbidden, and also that which is spoken ill of, you keep away from. So when we say لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله, it's not just parrot fashion, but rather it is something which has conditions which must be fulfilled. Because you are a person, he says, mustaslimun lillah, submitting yourself to Allah in that which he has ordered, and that which is forbidden, and that which is legislated, and that which he has ordained, preordained, pre-decreed, that which is good and that which is bad. And with that, he ends the chapter on Qadr, and then he moves on to the next section, which is a short section. Imam Ahmad rahimullah says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ تَفْسِيرْ حَدِيثِ وَيَبْلُهُ عَقْلُهُ فَقَدْ كُفِيَ ذَلِكَ وَأُحْكِمَ لَهُ. whoever doesn't understand a hadith, maybe a hadith comes to you, don't understand it, or you don't understand a verse, then it's upon you first and foremost to submit to that ayah or that hadith. You shouldn't question it, you shouldn't deny it, you shouldn't whatever. You can ask about it, there's no harm in that, but you shouldn't reject it. You can ask about it. Questioning means that you can ask about it, but not questioning to reject it. فَعَلَيْهِ الْإِيمَانُ بِهِ وَتَسِيمُ لَهُ. So upon him is to believe in that hadith or ayah and to submit to it. For example, the hadith of Sadiq al-Masduq, it talks about the unseen, about what's going to happen in the womb, and the legislation, يعني what is going to be written for you in while you are still a fetus in your mother's womb. Subhanallah. يعني your lifespan, your provision, your actions, whether you're going to be happy or sad, meaning at the point of death, are you going to be happy or are you going to be sad? ومثل ما كان مثله في القدر, and whatever is going to يعني be pre-decreed. ومثل حديث الرؤيا, and also the ahadith regarding seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The believers will see Allah, and we believe this, we accept it, and we do not act as the Mu'tazila. The Mu'tazila of the past, they used to use their aql, their intellect, in precedence of text. The intellect cannot tell you everything. The intellect, there is sane and unsane, yani the insane intellect. As for the sane intellect, that accept, that is in accordance with what Allah and His Rasul have come with. The sane intellect accepts whatever Allah and His Rasul have come with anyway. The insane person is the one that doesn't accept, because he uses his intellect, which is limited, in order to try to understand some of the details of this deen, which we have not been told about the affairs in full detail. So for example, Ali radiallahu anhu said, if this deen was built upon aql, intellect, mere intellect, we would have wiped the bottom of the sole of our feet, yani of the socks, rather than the top. You know when you do your wudu and you have your socks on upon wudu, then all you have to do is wipe upon your socks from the top. This is from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if the deen was based upon intellect, wipe the bottom, because it is considered to be the part where it gets dirty. Na'am. وإن نأت عن الاستماع عن الأسماع واستوحش منها المستمع وإنما عليه الإيمان بها وألا يرد منها حرفا واحدا. So even if something is not so clear to you from the ayat and the ahadith, you should not reject those ayat and ahadith, but rather accept them. And this is in refutation to those aqlaniyun, those so-called intellectualists who use their intellect for everything in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they try to understand everything by their aql. This cannot be. Allah put your intellect in your heart, for example. Until now they think their mind is up here. But their mind is... Allah says, أَمْ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. Your mind is here. It's what you think with. Until now, scientists haven't discovered that. So do we reject the verse in the Quran? Shaykh Al-Bani rahimahullah also mentions regarding the Euphrates River, the Euphrates Sea, that is, Allah mentions it in Surah Al-Mursalat as being from paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts water there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in Surah Al-Mursalat, that is, it's from paradise. Whether it was in the past or now, Allahu A'lam. But the point is, this is mentioned in Surah Al-Mursalat. Do we reject that verse? No, we don't. وَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِ الْإِيمَانُ بِهَا وَأَلَّا يَرُدْ مِنْهَا حَرْفًا. So we should not reject not even a letter from this deen, one letter from the Quran, or one letter from the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, غير من الحديث المأثورات عن الثقات. Sheikh Rabi' Hafiz already explained in this section, he says, بعض النصوص, some texts, قد لا تفهمها, you may not understand it, you may not understand the wisdom behind it, and what are the secrets behind the legislation of this of these texts. What is upon you is to believe in these texts, those authentic narrations, and to trust in them, because this is what iman necessitates. Amantu bil ghayb, that we believe in the ghayb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the ghayb in the Quran many times. Allah, to Him belongs the keys of the ghayb, the keys of the unseen. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِيحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُ. And with Allah are the keys of the unseen. None knows it but Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in Surah Al-Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the believers who believe إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا in Surah Al, let's start with Surah Al-Baqarah. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. They believe in the unseen. And in Surah Al-Mulk, Allah mentions those who believe in the ghayb, that for them there is maghfirah. For them there is maghfirah, forgiveness. آمنت بالغيب آمنت بأن محمدا حق. And we believe that the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, is حق, is true, that the Quran is true, and that which the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم came with is true, and that he did not speak of his own accord. So that which you have come to know, thank Allah for it, and that which you do not know, then leave the affair of it to Allah, for that is sufficient for you. And then there were some questions regarding the dars, and we move on inshallah to the next section, and that is al-imanu bi ru'yati Allah, believing in seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa mithlu ahadith ar-ru'ya kulluha. So we believe in seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The believers will see Allah on the day of judgment. Sheikh Rabi Habudra says ru'yatullah fi dar al-akhirah. Fa'ala al-'abdi an yu'mina bi anna Allah yura fi dar al-akhirah yarahu al-mu'minun. So in the hereafter, the believers will see Allah. As for this life, no eyes can beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No eyes can see Him in this life. وَأَنْكَرَ الْمُعْتَزِلَةُ And the believers, this misguided group who try to use their intellect, their limited intellect, to understand the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and reject a lot of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They deny the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Why? Because of a shubha, because of a doubt that is futile. And Ahlul Sunnah refuted them. And they have many proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah to refute them. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah refuted them, for example, he says. Ibn al-Qayyim used 7 verses from the Quran to refute the Mu'tazila, to refute those who denied the seeing of Allah from the believers on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And some of the verses that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah used, a person may be amazed to see how he used these verses, yani in giving proof, in showing that the believers will see Allah on the Day of Judgment. But if one ponders, he says, regarding these verses and these proofs, then he will see the greatness of the meaning behind that. So from them is, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says that Surah Al-Baqarah verse 223, إِنَّكُمْ مُلَاقُوهُ You will meet Allah. إِنَّكُمْ You will indeed surely meet Allah. وَاللِّقَاء لَا بُدَّ فِيهِ مِنَ الرُّؤْيَةِ وَالْمُعَايَنَةِ And لِقَاء meeting necessitates that you will see the one that you are meeting. The meeting, it will necessitate that you will see the one that you are meeting. And this is what the Arabic language necessitates. So that's the first refutation he brings against the Mu'tazila and those who deny the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many others he mentions from the verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Qiyamah, وَجُوهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ On that day, faces will be illuminated, seeing Allah. So the first one, نَاظِرَةٌ with a dad, is that the faces will be bright in Yawm al-Qiyamah, the believers. Seeing Allah, nadhira, with the dha. Seeing Allah. And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Qaf, وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ They will have Jannah. In the previous verse, Allah mentioned they will have Jannah, and after that, He said, وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ And they will have more than that, meaning seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhullah refutes those so called intellectualists like the Mu'tazila, who use a verse, a doubt that they bring from the Quran, to show that this verse means that no one can see Allah, لَا تُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارِ that no eyes can see, it can beseech Him. Yani, No eyes, la tudrikul absar. No eyes can beseech him. Wa huwa yudrikul absar. Wa huwa latiful khabir. And also idrak here, he says, it doesn't mean that no eyes can see him, but rather no eyes يعني can encompass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because idrak is Allah, as Allah says in the other verse, where Musa alayhi salatu salam, when he was being followed by Fir'aun and his army, and they came to the sea, and the companions of Musa alayhi salam, they turned back and they see the Fir'aun and his army coming towards them, and only behind them is only the sea. So where are they going to go? So they said, "Inna la mudrakun." Khalas, we have been surrounded, encompassed. They didn't mean we have been seen. Why? Because Musa alayhi salam, what did he say? Kalla. Kalla. He said, no. No. Because with me is Allah, and he's the one who's going to guide me. So here, clearly showing that the denial of that is used by the Mu'tazila from this verse is not referring to seeing that they will not see Allah. But rather, this verse denies that Allah can be encompassed. That the person can encompass Allah. No, they cannot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great. Allahu Akbar. But as for that, it doesn't negate that the believers will see Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. وجوههم يومئذ ناظرة إلى ربها ناظرة. And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the other verse, which the Mu'tazila use to deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is when they say the verse with regards Musa alayhi salatu salam, فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّ رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ جَعْلَهُ دَكًّا. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said with regards the mountain where Musa alayhi salatu salam wanted to see Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَا تُؤْمِن, don't you believe? He said, no, I believe, but لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي, but my heart, would like my heart to be more firmer. Yeah, I need to be firmer and to have more yaqeen, more certainty. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if the Jabal stays, if the mountain stays put, then you will see me. If it is not, then the opposite obviously is true. If it will stay put, you will see me. What happened? The Jabal, the mountain, crumbled. It crumbled. And so he wasn't able to see Allah. And as for the verse, لَن تَرَانِي, you will not be able to see me, this is, doesn't mean forever. It means in this life. You will not be able to see me in this life. And Shaykh Rabbi Hafidhullah, after that, he addresses the next verse in Surah Yunus, verse 26, showing clearly that the believers will see Allah. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُ الْحُسْنَى. For the believers, those who have good deeds, righteous deeds, they will get al-husna, paradise. And they will get al-ziyadah. And they will get that which is further than that, more than that. And that is seeing Allah. Because the Rasulullah explained it as being, the meaning mean al-ru'ya, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the hadith of Suhaib, which is in Sahih Muslim. فَسَّرَهَا عَدَدٌ مِّن صَحَابَ بِالرُّؤْيَا. And also many of the companions, a group of them, they all said it means al-ru'ya, seeing Allah on the day of judgment. And also the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith of of the Sahabi radiallahu anhu al-Bajali, where he radiallahu anhu mentioned about the believers seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. The Prophet ﷺ said, هَلْ تَضَامُونَ لِرُؤْيَةِ الْقَمَرِ يعني لِرُؤْيَةِ الْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةِ الْبَدْرِ. Do you overcrowd, push and shove with regards to, يعني, do you have difficulty in seeing the moon on the night of Badr, meaning the full moon? Do you have a problem in seeing that, all of you? No, we don't. We don't have to push and shove. We don't have to crowd. Likewise, you will be able to see Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of judgment, without pushing, without shoving, without overcrowding. And here, the tashbih is with the ru'ya and the ru'ya. Yani, the likeliness here is given of the seeing, not of Allah and the moon. Of the sight, the seeing of Allah and seeing of the moon, not Allah and the moon, because Allah is not like His creation. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. So Shaykh Rabbi Hafidhullah says, نعم, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, He will say, وَهِيَ أَفْضَلْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَاللَّهُ يَقُولُ لِعِبَادِهِ Allah will say to His slaves on the day of judgment, after they will enter paradise, هَلْ تُرِيدُونَ شَيْئًا أَزِيدَكُمْ Do you want anything else to that I will give you more, يعني more of? Is there anything else you want me to give you? Allah will say, قَالُوا مَادَتْ نُرِيدْ What else do we want? بَيَّتَّ وَجُوهَنَا You have already illuminated our faces, brightened our faces. وَأَدْخَلْتَنَا الْجَنَّةِ And you have entered us into paradise. وَأَعْطَيْتَنَا وَأَعْطَيْتَنَا And you have given us and you have given us. فَيَتَجَلَّ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make Himself apparent to them. فَمَا يَتَنَعَّمُونَ بِنِعْمَةٍ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ رُؤْيَةِ اللَّهِ And they will not find any blessing greater than seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَجِدُنَا أَفْضَلْ مِنْ رُؤْيَةِ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be of those people who will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another hadith of Ru'ya, the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Help me. When they asked him, they want to see Allah, yani on the day of judgment in paradise, he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Help me by praying the two prayers, the two called prayers. What are they? مَنْ صَلَّى الْبَرْدَيْنِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ Whoever prays the two called prayers, He will enter paradise. And that is Fajr and Asr. So help me with kathrat al-sujood, with much prostration. And help me with the two prayers, the Fajr and the Asr. So Ya Abdullah, do not fall short with those two, with the salawat. Do not fall short with the prayers. For this is inshallah a reason for you to see Allah on the day of judgment, to see Allah in paradise. تَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ عِيَانًا He said in the hadith of Abu Hurairah, You will see Allah with your eyes. كَمَا تَرَوْنَ الشَّمْسَ لَيْسَ دُونَهَا السِّحَابِ Just like you will see the sun without any rays. وَكَمَا تَرَوْنَ الْقَمَرَ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ Just as you see the moon on the night of Badr. دُونَ السَّحَابِ يعني without any rays. And this hadith is in Bukhari. A hadith كثيرة روى منها البخاري جملة ومسلم كذلك. وهذا فيما يتعلق بالرؤية. وَإِنْ نَبَتْ عَنِ الْأَسْمَاعِ وَاسْتَوْحَشَ مِنْهَا الْمُسْتَمِعِ And even if there is, يعني, find it strange to listen to. And even though the person himself who's listening to these beautiful hadith, even though he himself doesn't understand and comprehend them. أَسْمَاعَ أَهْلَ الْبَاطِلِ That is the comprehension and that is the hearing of the people of batil, the people of futility, the people of innovation. They're the ones who have a problem with these hadith. As for Ahlul Sunnah, as for the Salafiyun, they have no problem with these ahadith. We accept them wholeheartedly. We accept them. And we have no problem with these ahadith. أَمَّا أَهْلُ الْحَقِّ فَيَتَلَقَّوْنَهَا بِصُدُورٍ رَحِبَةٍ We accept these ahadith with an open chest. A clear chest, a happy chest, content. مطمئن, الحمد لله. وَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِ الْإِيمَانُ بِهَا لَمَّا ظَهَرَتِ الْفِتْنَةِ وإن كان رؤية الله وهناك أناس يشوشون قال مثل هذا الكلام So when the people like the Mu'tazila when they came and they tried to negate the hadith of رؤية and they negated these narrations not only that they negated and they continue till today the Ash'ari of today and so on they negate the nuzul of Allah Azza wa Jal in the last part third part of the night and they use their aql they use their intellect to try to negate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest heavens in the last third part of the night. And this happened before in the past. And Shariq al-Qadi, in his time, it was said to him that a group of Mu'tazila, they deny the Nuzul of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because what do they do? They say in one part of the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani is daytime. And the other part of the earth is nighttime. So how can Allah, they say, A'udhu billahi min dhalik. How can Allah in one part descend and the other part not descend? They use their intellect. They don't know that their intellect is limited. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not yani, made their intellect able to understand everything, comprehend everything. There are things that we understand and things that we don't understand. And that is based upon the great wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Shariq, he refuted them. Shariq the Qadi refuted them. And he refuted their ways and negated their... And as for us, we take from the Sahaba, yani, he mentioned about taking from the sons of the Tabi'een, from the Tabi'een, from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. As for them, who do they take their deen from? This is what he said to them. As for us, we take our deen from the sons of the Tabi'een, from the Tabi'een, from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Who do they take their deen from? And we say that to all the misguided groups. As for us, we take our deen from the sons of the Tabi'een, from the Tabi'een, from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Whom do they take their deen from? They can't trace it back to the Sahaba and the Salaf al-Salih and the pious predecessors. So Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhullah ends this section by saying that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yani, that even when he was angry, he said to the companion, "Uktub, write down." That was Abdullah ibn Amr when he asked, and he questioned. He said, "Write down, even when I'm angry, write down. On the affairs of the deen, write it down. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ لَا يَخْرُجْ مِنِّي إِلَّا حَقٍّ. Because by the one whose soul is my hand, whose soul is my hand, whose hand is my soul, sorry, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then nothing emanates from me except truth, except haqq. And indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. He doesn't speak of his own accord, it is but revelation that is revealed. And we'll stop there, that section on page 23. What time is Salat al-Isha?
10 past.
And in Ramadan, inshallah, we will continue this book. And you can choose, either after Salat al-Fajr, we can choose the days that we're going to do after Fajr, or after Asr, or after Dhuhr. Pick the days and we will do it, inshallah. We'll continue until we finish. We don't like to start something unless we finish, because this is the way of the ulama. Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abbad, Hafidullah, finished many books, mashallah, tabarakallah. Shaykh Ubaid finished many books, mashallah. And when we finished Kitab al-Tawheed, for example, after 2 years of studying Kitab al-Tawheed with the Shaykh, we asked the Shaykh, "What are you going to do next, Shaykh?" Shaykh Ubaid said, "We will go back to Kitab al-Tawheed, start again." And we started again, and alhamdulillah, finished it again. 4 years, finished it twice. And Usul al-Sunnah, this book that we are doing now, alhamdulillah, he did it in the masjid, 6 lessons, in the masjid. And he did it also in one hotel when the brothers from Kuwait, Tulab from Kuwait, they came, he did it again. 4 tapes. And he did many books. The Muqaddimah of Sunan ibn Majah, more than 250 hadith. The whole of that. And he did Kitab al-Sunnah from Sunan Abi Dawood. All of that. Aqidah, Manhaj. It's important. And he did Qawa'id al-Fiqhiyya many times. And he did even in his house, Qira'ah sessions in his house, regularly. After Fajr, Thursday, Friday, regularly. Last year it was 5 days a week. After Dhuhr, Qira'ah sessions. One after every book, next book. Finish that book, next book. Finish that book, next book. And you can choose. Bismillah. And some of the Tulab will come and they read. And if you have an opportunity, free gap, no one's there, read. Usul al-Thalatha, read his books, his own explanations. And read also Kashf al-Shubuhat, Kitab al-Tawheed, Kashf al-Shubuhat this year. He finished it in Masjid, which is in outside, on the outskirts of Medina. About six lessons. That's this year. And finished Wasatiyya, just finished this year, Wasatiyya. And a few years back, the whole of Wasatiyya, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan's explanation. And when you're reading, subhanAllah, the explanation of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, he corrects you and he's blind. He corrects you, your reading of that book. And as though the explanation of Wasatiyya of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan is in his head. And Kitab al-Tawheed is in his head. And Ajrumiyyah is in his head. And all the other books of... And Alfiyyah is in his head. Yani the Alfiyyah ibn Malik. All of it. Because sometimes in his durus, you mention some lines of poetry from Alfiyyah. And lines of poetry from other books of Aqidah or Manhaj. Explaining those books. And whenever a book he doesn't know, subhanAllah, he says, mashallah, inshallah, that will be our next book we will go through. And last year he did Qirwaniyyah. Ibn Abi Zayd, the Muqaddimah. Ibn Abi Zayd. And I'm just giving you a glimpse. But by Allah, being in Medina, wallah, there's khair upon khair upon khair. If you sit with the ulama, and you sit in Masjid al-Nabawi, and you sit outside the Masjid al-Nabawi with the ulama, Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi, 5 days a week, doing what? Doing Ma'arij al-Qabool. 3 volumes. And you think, mashallah, long term. You think long term. He's already nearly finished volume one. This year. And it was five days a week. 5 days a week. And he started only after Hajj. Yeah, and he continues. He started even before, but because of the PhD, he got busy. But now, continuous. And other than the Sheikh, Sheikh Abdul Masih Hafidhullah, he doesn't miss a day. Even if there's visitors. even if there's visitors. When the Mufti came, the students, they asked him, shall we go? There's a lecture in the same time. He said, no, the dars continues. The dars continues. Subhanallah. So Shaykh doesn't stop for anything. Yani, unless he's ill, and even if he's ill, he's not well, he tries his best to attend. Because he doesn't like the tulab to be yani, without the dars that day. And also he has a program to finish. And that program is to finish the yani, to go through the books of hadith, to go through the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a blessed duty that is. And Shaykh Salih Sahimi likewise, 3 days after Fajr, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and 3 days after Maghrib, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And Shaykh Ali Nasir Faqihi likewise, teaching Masjid al-Nabawi and other than them from the Mashayikh, teaching, going, when they finish a book, next book, when they finish a book, next book, and they continue like that. Kunu Rabbaniyin bima kuntum tu'allimuna al-kitab bima kuntum tadrusun. Reviving the books of the Salaf and the Dawrat. Just recently, 5 days, 5 days, wrote this one, Jawhatul Farida of Hafidh al-Hakami, 297 lines of poetry. Yani, it's not like Sulam al-Wusul. Sulam al-Wusul, mashallah, very easy, very palatable. You can understand it. So, the other one, Jawhatul Farida, is another level, because he wrote it. Hafidh al-Hakami, rahimahullah, wrote it towards the end of his life. So in there you find different aspects of aqidah and usul of fiqh right at the end. So those who reject usul of fiqh and those who don't see the importance of usul of fiqh, the ulama of the past gave importance to it, because it's a tool that you can use against Ahl Bid'ah, because they're using it. So you must be grounded in it in order for you to be able to repel their innovation. He mentioned the last section all on usul of fiqh, about obedience to Rasul. And he mentioned in there many things, subhanallah, and aqidah and methodology. If Allah gives us long life, we go over these books, inshallah. This is our intention, to follow the example of the ulama, and that is to go through these. Don't waste time, because if you are wasting time, if you are not busying yourself in ilm, in knowledge, shaitan will use your time. Many people, they don't come to the lessons. For example, they are busy maybe watching television, following the football, maybe following golf. I don't know what the usual thing they follow, but giving too much ghulu, for too much extremism in that which is yani, that which they could spend their time better learning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost. But rather you find a lot of people being excessive in either bodybuilding. Where are you going, brother? I'm going to the gym every day. What about time for your ibadah? Time for your deen? Time for your... In Medina is maybe 1-2 lessons every day you can benefit. You can benefit from. If you have one lesson a week here, it's a ni'mah if the person turns up. It's a blessing if the person turns up once a week. There, 7 days a week. 7 days a week. And even that, mashallah, tabarakallah, you want more. Rabbi zidni ilma. So I know that lifestyle here is not that easy. And that, you know, the 9 to 5, you know, the routine. But still, remember, busy yourself with that which is beneficial for your akhirah, and beneficial for your children, and beneficial for yourself. Remove that ignorance from yourself. Know the Arabic language. Know how to read Quran. Recite the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you good in this life and good in the hereafter. If you take a step towards Allah, Allah will come to you running. If you come to Allah a handspan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to you in arm's length. If you come to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who love his deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the path of paradise easy, and that is by talab al-ilm. Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilman sahala Allahu lahu tariqan ila al-jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rasul mentions, whoever treads this path of knowledge, then Allah makes that path of knowledge easy for him, that path of Jannah easy for him.